Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all having a good Wednesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. The Packers continuing to bring in new blood on the coaching staff. Bobby Babich, the former defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, joining the Packers defensive staff as their passing game coordinator, defense slash secondary coach. Most likely this is a replacement for Ryan Downard, who has moved on to Miami to be with Jeff Hafley. Although a bit more responsibility with the passing game coordinator title thrown in there, as reported by Tom Pelissero. Nothing is obviously official yet from the team, but that is the report. And it's hard not to notice that Derek Ainsley's title was or has been passing game coordinator on the defensive side of the ball. Nothing yet as far as what they are planning to do with, if anything, regarding keeping Derek Ainsley, but I suspect a promotion might be in line here. I know there's a possibility maybe his contract is up and they're just going to let him walk, although I haven't seen him connected to any other jobs. Certainly hasn't been any reporting around his name that I've seen, so I suspect there's a chance they're going to promote him to maybe an assistant defensive coordinator position. And don't forget, he has been a defensive coordinator in the past, as has Babich. Obviously, Jonathan Gannon coming in to coordinate the defense, and DeMarcus Covington, their defensive line coach, who has had a couple of other interviews throughout this cycle, also had 1 year as a defensive coordinator. Stacking up a lot of experience on that side of the ball, which something Billy and I talked about on Carry the G Radio this week. I hope you guys will check that out. It dropped a couple hours ago here on the channel regarding Matt LaFleur pretty clearly wanting to be able to set it and forget it on the defensive side. Not to say he's not going to be involved. He very much is. He's the head coach. It's his job to set the direction of the defense. But I do think one of the things he enjoyed with Hafley being in town, and he's probably looking to continue this, is being able to say, all right, this is what I want. This is the style I want. And now I'm going to worry about coaching my offense. And I very much understand that viewpoint. And I think we all remember the image of Matt hunkered over a iPad on, I believe it was Monday Night Football against the Eagles, while the defense was on the field, and the internet had a field day with that image. But I understand being able to step away and, okay, the defense is going to do what the defense does under my coordinator. I've got to figure out a way to crack this code of the opposing defense that I'm working against. I don't have any issues with that, and I completely understand that viewpoint and that desire from a head coach who, look, he knows that offense that let them down at times in 2025 has to be more consistent in 2026. And now there's a lot that goes into that, including a much better, more consistent performance from their offensive line. But I do like the idea of LaFleur bringing in a lot of staff members on the defensive side that will be able to draw from a ton of experience. Babich himself has 14 years in the league. And this is something that had been a topic around the Packers blogosphere, if you will, thanks to the work Justice has done over there at Acme Packing Company about the lack of experience when bringing in, you know, new candidates, new blood, if you will, to the coaching staff. Well, that clearly hasn't been an issue. They've certainly gone out and got one of, if not the most experienced defensive coordinator. Now they have a guy who has been a defensive coordinator who is going to head up their secondary. I like the experience, especially when you look at, you know, Buffalo's defense, Babich, who was in line and did interview for the job that eventually went to Hafley. His work in Buffalo is pretty strong against the pass. And you look at his now being in charge of the secondary and the passing game coordinator. I like this idea. I like this through line. Now, you never really know what's going to occur until we find out what the final kind of pieces he has to work with in the secondary. And goodness knows, Brian Gutekunst has some work to do there, but you certainly can't fault LaFleur for his approach this offseason so far. Speaking of this offseason, it'd be nice to hear from any one of these folks, whether it is the new defensive coordinator or some of his staff or Matt LaFleur himself, or yes, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Still no word on if we'll be hearing from any of them prior to next week, the Super Bowl, possibly the week after the Super Bowl. Hell, maybe we don't hear from any of them until the combine. It's entirely possible. But in the meantime, very much like the approach, very much like this hire, a lot of work still to be done, obviously, but steps, I think, in the right direction. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your minds? How are we doing now? Chuck Olson, I like it, buddy. Evil Badger, how are you, sir? I'm happy that Darth Vader has to wait at least a year to get voted into the Hall of Fame. I assume this is a reference to Bill Belichick. I always saw Belichick as the Emperor and Tom Brady as Darth Vader, but your mileage may vary. Whether you have feelings about him, that which certainly you're allowed to, and you obviously do, that's all well and good. It is an absolute farce that he is waiting a year to get in, that he is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't care what you think of the guy. He was an amazing, outstanding coach, one of the best who have ever done it. And the fact that there are clearly some petty vendettas going on that that will keep him out the first time around is patently absurd. Evil Badger, thanks again, man. Why are the Packers so top secret about the coaches / GM contracts? People would like to know if the head coach GM are on the hot seat. Well, that's all well and good, but ultimately, you know, it doesn't materially affect anything when it comes to the business of football. So I fail to see the desire on the team's part to make those things public. Also, I don't recall any other teams having press releases about how much their coach or general manager are making. That's not a common practice in the league. And I understand the Packers are a very special situation because of the ownership structure in Green Bay, the fans having a say up to a point, right? But if you really want to make that a change, I suggest you show up to the owners' meeting and try and get a point of order. Good luck with that. Don Vito, thank you, buddy. If Jerry cuts Kenny Clark, any chance for a reunion? I would hope so. I mean, I'd love the idea of Kenny coming back to Green Bay. I don't know they could afford him. I suspect if he is out on the market, he'll probably find a pretty nice deal. Probably a bit rich for what the Packers can afford this offseason, but maybe he'd give them a hometown discount. Although I would be shocked given that they traded him away, you know. I really would love it. I love the idea. I don't think it's entirely too realistic, but hey, man, again, I'm all for it. What else we got here, folks? Soder says, elevate Sean Mannion. Yes, the great panic of 2026 has begun with Sean Mannion getting his second interview in Philadelphia. Elevate him to do what, Soder? To be offensive coordinator? They've got an offensive coordinator in Steno. And I know everyone is hot to trot and get rid of Steno because all of the good things they do on offense clearly can't have anything to do with Steno. And all the bad things they do on offense are clearly Steno's fault. The internet is hilarious. Donnie Davis, what? Can this guy play in the defensive backfield? He and my grandma would be better than what we have, and she's been dead for 34 years. Help! He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. I mean, hey, they've got talent at safety, and Gannon has run a bunch of multiple safety looks throughout his time, definitely in Arizona and sometimes in Philadelphia, and maybe he'll bring that to Green Bay. But they certainly need to augment the cornerback room. Let's say that. Angel, I'm glad you asked about this. Any comments on your viral tweet about the Odyssey? Yeah, God forbid a guy has fun on the internet. You know, I'm watching football and I hear what's his name say, tell me about my dad in the very first line in the Odyssey trailer. And I'm like, what is this, Finding fucking Nemo? So I made fun of the fact that he says dad and the whole world lost its mind. Like, duly noted. Never, ever have fun on the internet. Sorry, guys. Fun fact, someone, and I suspect it's someone related to the studio, put in a copyright notice to Twitter because of the GIF I used, which was made available by Twitter. So I got dinged for copyright for something that Twitter did. Good times. Those are my comments, Angel. Thank you for asking. Dave, what's going on, brother? Hopefully Gannon has an answer to teams going quick game and running the ball to neutralize Micah. Yes, that is certainly going to be a, I would think, point of conversation throughout the offseason, because it is kind of the way of working for opponents that at least are able to with their quarterback, right? I don't think every team is able to operate that way or was able to operate that way against the Packers. But certainly, if you do have a quick game, that is the way to attack the Packers, especially combining it with a running game that is even minimally effective. I got to think that's part of the conversation, right? It absolutely has to be. What else we got here, folks? Joe, what's going on, man? Saw your talk with Justice. Do Packers have a nose tackle who can two-gap, and is that the best scheme for Wyatt? Cover seven could make some time to get right. I don't, the last part, you're not wrong, but they do have all offseason. You know, they ain't playing on Sunday. Man, I have little doubt they'll have guys ready to go by the time week one rolls around. As far as a nose tackle, not a true one, not on the roster at the moment. That's why I was kind of joking with Billy. You know, you're gonna have to either go out and draft a guy or, you know, God forbid, spend a little money in free agency. The problem is oftentimes when you're talking about asset allocation, right, in the offseason, guys who only play traditionally on early downs and very rarely play on third downs, you know, it's hard to spend too much on that particular part of your defense. Now, maybe the Packers consider that a must have and got to have it kind of thing. And maybe they go outside their comfort zone a little bit in that regard. But traditionally, that is why those guys drop to, you know, mid rounds of the draft, late into the draft. But that may work for the Packers without a first round pick, you know. But yeah, at the moment, the traditional nose tackle, the way, you know, it's been played in the NFL for forever. No, they don't have that guy outside of maybe Riley, who they picked up from the Giants and then ended up getting hurt against the Ravens. He could potentially be that type, but even he, and he's a bigger guy, I don't know that he would even be the kind of classic case that you would like at the position. But at least he's got, you know, time in the league and has done a little bit of that. H. Carrington, how are you, man? Speaking of defensive styles, my favorite part of the Super Bowl 31 flashbacks was Reggie, Santana, and Sean closing it out with multiple three-man rushes. I was waiting for someone to note that on Twitter, but you're not wrong, man. Yes, three-man rushes and Reggie getting home, Santana getting home. What a luxury as a defensive coordinator. Think about Fritz sitting back there and going, hell, I'll rush two next time. No blitz Fritz, living his best life. I mean, yeah, the Patriots are dropping back 5-7-step drops. You got five-man protections that they can't hold up against three. It's a fun way to live when you're a defensive coordinator, no doubt about it. What else we got here, folks? We got Dennis saying hello to everybody. Hey, Dennis. Evan, thank you, sir. Do you think Hackett sticks around? I think there's a chance. I certainly haven't heard his name connected anywhere else at the moment, but it's still actually somewhat early in the process. We still got head coaches getting hired, you know. I think there's a chance. You know, I don't doubt for a moment he'd like another crack at calling plays somewhere. Now, I don't think that's going to happen in Green Bay, obviously, but we'll see. A lot to shake out yet, and maybe he gets brought back on staff full-time, you know, as opposed to kind of this – the consultant role that he had last season. But I'm not going to say it's a slam dunk, absolutely going to happen, but I do think there's a chance. Neil Flynn, how are you, man? Off season or not, the Bears still suck. Thanks for keeping it real, man. Absolutely 1000% correct. Mike Witt, how you doing, man? Key question is, does Brandi Lewis like Gannon? I'm sure she does right now at this very moment before they have given up a single yard. But stay tuned. Stay tuned. I'm sure that will change. Braden, how are you, sir? Thank you. I like the recent hires. Hope to see our safety room develop to potential all pros. Now, the cornerback room, that's the island of misfit toys. Nobody wants to play with a Charlie in the box. The Packers cornerback room. Oh, man. Yeah, you're not wrong, man. Ooh, Brendan asks, should we have signed Jim Schwartz instead? Well, he was interviewing for the Browns head coaching position and then didn't get it. And now is like saying, I'm going to take my ball and go. I would have loved it because I love that style of defense. Very man coverage oriented. That is clearly not in vogue in the league. Not a lot of teams play it because they don't have the personnel to do it. And certainly it would be very difficult to see the Packers turn over their roster such as it is right now with what they have to work with, both in free agency and the draft, and see a path to, oh yeah, we could do definitely run Jim Schwartz's stuff. I just don't think that's a would have been a viable alternative to Gannon, who I think is a very good hire. But again, man, I love Schwartz. I love his style. I love the way he attacks offenses. His man coverage and predominant man coverage is a very, I'm not going to say a relic, but it's a throwback. And there's not a ton of that remaining in the NFL where you're playing man across the board the way he does on a lot of downs. Now you can get in trouble doing that, but if you got the horses to run those courses, you can cause a lot of problems. And they certainly did in Cleveland. But again, I think it would have been a pretty significant jump to get there in Green Bay, especially with a championship window sitting there right now the next 2 years. Kyle, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Nags, do you see the Packers getting a defensive lineman in free agency? I hope, I dream. I'm not holding my breath, though. They don't have a ton of room to play with when it comes to the cap. They've still got a lot of work to do as far as creating room. Now they've got until March, the start of the new league year, but it's going to be tough for them to shop at the high price aisle, right? I think if there are guys out there 2-3 weeks into free agency, a defensive lineman or whoever that they think can kind of augment what they're trying to do, yeah, there's a possibility there. But I would be very, very surprised if it's, one of these top flight, top 20 names that you're going to see banding about throughout the offseason. I'd be surprised if they pulled the trigger like that. Trade for Vita Vey? God, I'd love it. I'd love it. I don't see the Packers or the Buccaneers going that route, but you never know. What else we got here, folks? Brad asks, do you see any big trades this year? I mean, after the Micah trade, probably not. Now, never say never. You're certainly in a window where you've got to win it these next couple seasons. So maybe that drives them to be a little bit more aggressive. But, man, I can't see a avenue where they continue to throw assets at the roster the way they did with Micah. Never say never, right? But I would be very surprised if there's another big swing like that, right? Mr. Heebs, this is an excellent question. Who starts at center? Right now, I would suspect Jacob Monk, but they could potentially bring back Sean Ryan. I don't think that's likely, but they could. I think Jacob Monk will compete for that gig, and I have to think they draft somebody. Now, the issue, of course, would be that there's not a ton on offer in the draft this year at the center position. I believe from what I've read so far, and I haven't done a ton of deep diving into the draft yet, but I think one of the top center prospects is coming back from a pretty significant injury, which means he would fit right in Green Bay, right? I kid. But, I do think that would be their preference. When they drafted Jacob Monk, the idea seemingly was that he would be at some point down the line, at least ready to compete for the center gig. And like I've said a couple times here, he did not have a good summer, did not have a good preseason, but played really well in week 18 in Minnesota. So who knows, man, if that's, the way they want to go as far as, okay, continue to bring him along, let him compete for it. But I got to think they bring in some competition. I'd be surprised if it was just handed to him. Max, what's going on, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. I know you've mentioned Rich potentially retiring, but is there a world where we at least get a coveted assistant to help with our poor special teams? A coveted assistant like Rich Bisaccia? I kid. But people forget, man, we were doing cartwheels when they hired Rich because he was a coveted assistant. Is there a chance that happens? Sure. Do I suspect that happens? No. But hey, I've been surprised before. But I don't think there's going to be monster changes there if Rich doesn't retire. I think Rich will continue to coach for at least one more year if he doesn't decide to hang it up. So I don't shoot the messenger, but that's my guess. Adam, what's going on, man? Don't have much to say. Just want to show support. Go Pack Go. Dude, that's really nice of you. Thank you so much. Is this the internet? Kindness? Support? Sir, I think you were in the wrong spot. Dennis, how are you, buddy? When do you think Goody will draft a cornerback? Their first pick, random Packer, Jim Flanagan. Ooh, Jim Flanagan. Good pull. I mean, if it's there, I always kind of jokingly say they draft, you know, everyone's like, do they draft for need or the best player available? It's the best player available at a position of need. You know, they'll have their tiers, and if there's a corner slotted in the tier they're at, first, second, third, fourth round, wherever, yeah, I think you're going to see at least one corner taken in this draft. Now, will it be their first selection? Impossible to say. But I do think you're going to see at least one corner taken, if not a couple. They have got to restock in that room. Zero question about it. Trandon, I understand this sentiment. I really do. There has to be a way to bring Dobbs back. Yeah, probably by overpaying him to keep him off the market. But if you're Romeo Dobbs, you've gone these 4 years, you're healthy, you're coming off one of your best performances in that playoff game, not to mention a year where you did really good work, you got a lot of really good tape. This is your one shot to go out onto the market and hit it big contract-wise. It'd take something pretty significant from the Packers to keep him around. You know, and that would be overpaying him, which the Packers just aren't going to do, especially 1 year after they just drafted two wide receivers. Man, I love Romeo Dobbs. Like I said, I totally understand that sentiment, but you can't pay everybody. And unfortunately, there are guys in the pipeline ready to go when Dobbs moves on. You know, he'll get a good deal wherever he ends up on the market, and that helps the Packers because that will generate a compensatory pick next season. Again, I understand it, man. I love Dobbs as a player. But you pay the core of your team and you pay the kind of elite talent, special blue chip players. Those are the ones you want to keep in house. Guys like Zach Tom, Christian Watson, Jordan Love, etc. You know, Romeo Dobbs is a really good football player, but he's not tilting the field for you. You know, I do not doubt for a moment he will go and be a very productive receiver someplace else, and the Packers will bring along guys like Matthew Gold and Savion Williams and company. Hyperactive Sam, what's up, man? I think the issue with Steno is no one knows what he does. He was the O-line coach, and our O-line is terrible. Well, I've addressed this earlier. He was the O-line coach and then wasn't the O-line coach, and when he became not the O-line coach, the O-line was good. With Butkus, who everybody also wants fired. You know, they've had one bad season along the offensive line. One season, whether it's Ben Steno or Butkus. And everybody wants them fired now because of one bad season. That blows my mind. Like, it's a mix. It's talent. It's injury. It's everything. It's not just, oh, this coach sucks. He's got to get fired. Now, maybe they do move on from Butkus. That is entirely possible. But I don't think it's this automatic thing that everybody thinks it is. And when it comes to Steno, no one knows what he does. Yeah, fine. So why are you calling for him to be fired? That's my whole point. Now, maybe he does get let go, or maybe he moves on, but that's going to be a decision made by people who are 1 billion times more informed than we are. That's it. That's all I got for you. What else we got? Nick, what's going on, man? Shame watching championship weekend knowing damn well the Pack could have beat all four teams. The future is bright. I got to wear shades. I mean, they were beating Denver, right? pity we couldn't have a snowstorm show up, you know, prior to Micah getting hurt. But yeah, man, I hear you. Now, I think Seattle and Seattle would have been tough. You know, after if they would have beat the Bears, they held on there in the wild card round, would have felt great, would have been very excited, very happy, no doubt about it. But going to Seattle and beating that Seattle team in their house with this banged up squad, that would have been tough. That would have been tough. Now, if the Packers had been at full strength, I like their chances. There, I'm with you. Don Vito, how are you? Thanks for the chat, Nags. I got to go. I got tough to get sneak peek tickets for Melania. Go back, go. Y'all going to make me lose my mind. I swear to God. You guys are hilarious. All right, everybody. I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.